Oh, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you. If you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you, or if you're listening online, a welcome to you as well. Today, we remember that we're celebrating the Lord's Supper together. It's a time when we remember not only the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus, but the love we ought to have for one another as we take of the bread and we take of the juice as well. And you can choose to do that either from sitting in the pews. You would have received a little individual cup and wafer as you came in, or you may come to the table and receive juice and bread at the table. Well, welcome again, especially to those who are visiting or listening online. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. Helping me in today's service is Fiona, who's on keyboard over here, and Rosemary on guitar, and Young Len on drums and singing. Janice will read to us from the scriptures as we continue through the book of Acts, and Rosemary will lead us in prayer. As I said, during the service, we'll have an opportunity to take of the Lord's Supper together. The Bible teaching today is on Acts 2, on Pentecost. It's not Pentecost today in terms of the date, but it's a time when we remember the outpouring of God's Spirit upon all believers in fulfilment of Scripture. Our mission focus for April has been both on the work of the Blairs with refugees, and Rosemary will be praying for them, and also being Anzac Day and April, we'll be mindful of our chaplaincy through Anglican Chaplains with Defence Force. The sentence of Scripture today comes from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Psalm 98, verses 1 to 2. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. And we're going to do that today. We're going to sing a new song, which ties in well with the Bible reading and teaching today, and it's by faith. And so I'll hand you back over to Rosemary and our musos.
So we're going to sing this new song today, learn this new one. We're also going to be singing it at the end of the service. So I hope you've got your voices in fine form today. We're going to sing through the first two verses and then the chorus, because it takes on that form throughout. We sing two verses and a chorus, two verses and a chorus. So if you want to listen to us as we go through those first two verses and the chorus, then we're going to go back to the beginning and you guys can join us from the beginning. So if you'd like to...
So remain seated at the moment, and then I'll invite you to stand when we get to the verse again.
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power of his promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the
stand.
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth, with the power of the promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hands, our place where peace and justice reign. When the longed-for Messiah would appear, with the power to break the chains of sin and death, and rise triumphant from the grave. By faith the church was called to go, in the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon His name. We will stand as children of the promise. Soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the
please be seated. Thanks, Mutos. Well, let's pray together this prayer that's on the screen as we come together as God's people here to worship Him together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the commandments once again, which God gave his people Israel. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods beside me. Do not make any idol for yourself. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all you have to do, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Honour your father and your mother. Do no murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony against your neighbour. Do not covet anything that is your neighbour's. Together, Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Stories of the Bible. God sends the Holy Spirit. These are the apostles.
Hello!
They followed Jesus during his time on earth. Before Jesus went to heaven, he told them to stay in Jerusalem until God sent the gift he promised.
See ya!
So after Jesus went to heaven, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem along with the other people who believed in Jesus. One day, they were all gathered together when there was a sound from heaven like a mighty windstorm. Then what looked like flames appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in other languages, and so they started speaking. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, they came running to see what it was. When they saw the believers speaking in their own languages, they were shocked and amazed. They wondered, how can this be? These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages about the wonderful things God has done. What can this mean?
Whatever.
But others in the crowd didn't believe that it was really a miracle and thought the believers were just acting oddly. Then Peter stepped forward and shouted to the crowd.
Hey, all you!
Listen carefully, all you. He told them that they were not acting strangely, but that this was from God. He reminded them that God said this would happen long ago. Then Peter told them about how Jesus was crucified, but then raised to life again, just as God had said he would be. He told them that Jesus was now in heaven and that God had given the Holy Spirit to them as he had promised. Peter's words changed what the people thought and felt, and they asked, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter told them, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
Wow!
Peter continued to preach to the crowd for a long time, and those who believed what Peter said were baptized. 3,000 people were baptized and added to the church that day. Then all the believers listened to the apostles' teaching and practiced what they taught.
Hey!
They met together in fellowship, shared meals, and prayed together. They were amazed as the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had.
Here you go, take this.
Oh, thank you.
They helped those in need.
Here, this is for you.
Thank you.
Worshiped together at the temple every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy, all while praising God and enjoying each other. And each day, God added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
That a little bit later on. I'm going to get you to stand and sing a song with me. I played a little bit earlier on. It's Clap Your Hands. Let's stand.
Clap your hands, shout for joy. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Praise his name, sing out loud. The Lord is good. Is good. Raise his your hands, shout for joy. The Lord is good, the Lord is good. Praise his name, sing out loud. The Lord is good to me.
And we think on the goodness of God, the Lord is good to all of us. Turn to the person next to you and just say, good morning, welcome to church. Hello. If there's someone you haven't said hello to before, why don't you go and say hello to them? Welcome to church. Good morning. Ask them how they're going. Oh, good. Hi, Tanya, up the back there. Oh, good. Hi. Please take a seat. Janice is going to come up and read to us from the Bible. So if you've got your Bible there handy, you can follow on the screen up here or in the bulletin and the handout as well. But our Bible reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. You can find it on page 1091 in the Pew Bibles. Thanks, Janice.
Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christians, when they've met together down through the ages, have said three distinct statements of belief together over the well on 1,500 years or 2,000 years. And one of them is the Nicene Creed. And so we're going to say that today. And it's usually said when the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion is in the service. Because if you'll notice, it focuses a lot on the person of Jesus and his work and his ministry and what he accomplished to do. So let's say this together while we're sitting down, thinking about what we're actually saying and believing about God and what he's done for us. Together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We'll open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 or to the handout that's inside your news and notes to Acts chapter 2. It's Pentecost. Well, as I said, this particular Sunday isn't Pentecost, but it's tying in with what the follow-up to the Easter story. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, it was Easter. And so we looked at Easter story from Luke's gospel, Luke's perspective of the Easter story of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. And we've followed along with the apostles and the disciples as they've gone on this journey with Jesus through his death, through his resurrection, through his appearance, his ascension. They're waiting. And that's now where we come and collect with them. It's now 10 days or 50 days after the Passover. That's where we get the title, the Greek term Pentecost from, Pente being 5 or 50 days after Passover. And the apostles and the disciples, Jewish as they are waiting now for the promise that Jesus said would come upon them when they would receive power and be able to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the power that was going to enable them to do that is Jesus by his Spirit. And so they're waiting for this day when that would come, and the day arrives. But first, before we think about that, let's think about, I'm going to take you down through the Old Testament as to the Feast of Pentecost. You see, what's happened is that every year, Jews would have travelled from all over the known world to come to Jerusalem. They are now, just remember, after they've lost their land, really, back some good 500 years beforehand, that land used to belong to them. It used to be their promised land for Israel. But then the northern kingdom was taken from them, and then the southern kingdom was taken away from them because of their turning their back on God. And yet in all of this, the scriptures was pointing to a Messiah that would come. And so now at the time of the New Testament and of Jesus coming into the world, the Messiah coming, it's that time when the Romans are actually occupying Israel and that land, the promised land. And the Jews are dispersed throughout the world. God does some strange things like that when we Christians and when God's people are a little bit stubborn. We don't want to sort of move from our comfortableness. He moves us and he makes those things happen so that the word goes out to all the ends of the earth and the world. But way back earlier on, when the time came for God's people earlier on to be saved out of Egypt, where they were once slaves, led under Moses, they had a particular feast where they would remember down through the ages of God's rescuing them. And it was the Passover, remember? And Jews still celebrate that today. And It's a day when a lamb was sacrificed, the blood sprinkled on the doorposts, God's wrath passed over, but the Israelites and all whose homes were sheltered by that blood of that lamb were rescued and the firstborn didn't die. And you know the story from there is that they go off then and travel into the wilderness and then into the promised land eventually. Along that way, at a time whilst they're in the desert going towards the promised land, God gives his word, his commandments to them, which we read out this morning in the service. He gave his law to them. And so this little feast of Passover and the giving of the law were like two bookends in that time of the year where they would remember God's promise to them of saving them and then remember how they then were to live as God's people into the promised land and the future. And so for 50 days, the Jew every year from wherever they were, the male would travel from wherever they were in the known Roman world time and come to Jerusalem. And they would arrive there by Passover time. And so when Jesus is there in Jerusalem and teaching over those years that he's there, those 3 years as an adult there, every year the Jews would have come at this time from all over the world, all over that known world there, and be there in Jerusalem. And likewise, at this time, as the disciples were waiting, Jews from all over the known world had come for the Passover, and they were remembered that. And it was called the Feast of Weeks. The whole 50 days, the Feast of Weeks it was. Actually, I'll put it up on the screen here. And you can read the passages in Exodus 19, 34 and Leviticus. It was this big, long 50 days, was a reminder to them of God's provision, God's salvation, God's unity, the oneness of God's people, though dispersed throughout the world, and the giving of God's law and God's word. And that focus, at the very beginning of the 50 days, they would bring in the harvest, right? And they would sacrifice, or they would actually give some of the grain at the very beginning of this 50 days. And then at the end, they'd go to the temple and they would give two loaves of bread as the produce. And a symbolic way of saying God provides so that he can continue to provide, you know, in that way too. So there's this symbolism of provision in these times. And so the Jews now, but at the time when the disciples were there gathered in that upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, very much in the minds of the Jew, from what we've read, is that they were focusing on the last day, Pentecost, was the time they remembered when God gave them the word, God gave them the commandments just before they would then go in and enter into the promised land so that they would know how to be God's people and what God required of them to do to be blessed in order to be a blessing to the rest of the world, which goes way back to Genesis chapter 12 when God chose Abram to be the father of that nation. I bless you, I make a great nation out of you so that you will be blessed to be a blessing, not a curse, but a blessing to the rest of the world. And so the Jew is remembering this on this very 50th day. They're packing their bags. They're getting ready. We haven't started packing our bags to go to Dorothy yet. But they're packing their bags. They're ready to go back to their homeland. And it's the very last couple of days. And that's Pentecost. They would have gone to the temple. They would have got the bread. They would have done that sacrifice. And this happens, all right? But what happens is that the Spirit of God comes down upon the apostles and the disciples, and they are empowered to prophesy, and they are empowered to be able to speak the words and wonders of God, the greatness of God, in every language of the known Jews that were there. You saw it there, read, listed. These weren't heavenly, angelic languages that no one could understand or needed an interpreter. They were, as the scriptures tell us, earthly languages. And the people said, how is this possible? You know, these men are Galileans. And as if to say, they can't learn another language, right? And so it's and they're speaking the languages of all the known people at that time. And the question we've got to be asking in our head, why? Why did God do that? All right? Why did he do that? What was the purpose of that happening? All right? And so Peter gets up. And he prophesies, he preaches. That's what prophesying is. Prophesying is pointing back to the scriptures and telling people what God says in the scriptures. And then this is what God says. And if you do this, this is what will happen. If you don't do this, this is what would happen. Right? That's prophecy, okay? And so it was a reminder to them. And what happens is that Peter gets up and prophesies. And it was in fulfillment of the promise that would happen when the Spirit would come upon the believers in the last days, or the days coming up to when Jesus would return again. And so you see Peter getting up, as we read here, telling them the gospel, telling them who Jesus is, what he's done, now what they're supposed to do, right? If they want to be in God's family, God's oneness, and be a blessing to the rest of the world. And so they hear this, and people repent. And the church is added to their number, 3,000 on that day. Incredible time at that moment. But I'm going to take you even further back to this to see, because remember, what's our sentence of scripture for today? There's a little word that mentioned it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. The gospel is the key that God uses with his Spirit to open the minds and hearts of people to be received into his kingdom. Okay? It's God uses not programs or any other thing. He uses the gospel, the message of who Jesus is and what Jesus our Lord has done, to actually open hearts and minds to be come into his kingdom, to come into his family, to be right with God. And so we've got to ask the question is, okay, Acts. Who wrote Acts? Who wrote Acts? Luke. Okay. What's Luke? Has Luke actually said anything about this? Has he introduced this already about this day of Pentecost coming in his account of the gospel and the book of Acts? Because remember, it's two works as one. And he has. The very first time that Luke mentions about this day of Pentecost is way back in chapter 3, verse 16 of Luke's gospel. John is baptizing people. That's John the Baptist. He's getting people ready for the Messiah to come, and says, people think, are you the Messiah? He's saying, the people saying, and John says, no, I'm not the Messiah. What does he say? I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. What is he going to be doing? He will one day baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so right from the very beginning of Luke's gospel there, in the beginning of the ministry of his account of the gospel, he talks about this day of Pentecost. And then Jesus himself is baptized by John, and what happens when he is baptized, Luke records, he says the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my son whom I love, with you, this one I am well pleased. And then we read through Luke's gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus and in the disciples was to give them power. We read in Luke 4 verse 1, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits that they come out. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And then at his ascension, just before at his At his resurrection appearances and ascension, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. All this is about an enabling of God's people to proclaim who Jesus is and the gospel, so that they are blessed to be a blessing to the rest of the world with telling people the key to unlock that message of, to unlock that knowledge of knowing how to be right with God. And so we come to the Acts, to the chapter 2, and remember, well, what was that little word in chapter 1? It's there again. Remember, I said a couple of weeks ago, this is the beginning of Luke, of Acts Gospel now. Luke says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. It's an unusual word for Luke to use there, began. It suggests and means that there was more for Jesus to be doing and will do. How's he going to do that? He's going to do that through the Spirit, his Spirit in the apostles, now coming down on the apostles and the believers, enabling them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power to do what? Speak in different languages? Maybe. There'd be languages that people would understand, but not that in itself, but to make the wonders of God known, to make the gospel, to testify to who Jesus is. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. By the Holy Spirit, in fulfillment of the scriptures, the believers now, with the Holy Spirit, prophesy God's word. They do it in languages that are understood because God wants the word to go out, all right? He doesn't want it to stay in one place or in one group of people. He wants all nations to be blessed, as he said back in Genesis 12, blessed to be a blessing to all people. And so you see people hearing the gospel, people repenting and believing, and the mission and ministry of the church begins, and Jesus' ministry by the Holy Spirit continues through and continues to do so down through the ages to us today. You may remember a few weeks ago I said, well, how will the apostles be able to be a witness to the ends of the earth, to Abbotsford, Anglican Church, this region here? He will do so because it's these people who wrote down God's word for us. And when we look at it and we open it up and we read it, God's Spirit teaches us of the truth concerning him. Because remember, why did Luke write his gospel? Why did he write it? Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. And here's the application, all right? So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. All right, I wish I could have made it more, you know, with more fireworks and thunder and, you know, and thinking, well, yeah, I can do that, brother. I can do that, sister. Yeah, that's you know, I can. You know, it's the powerful that is that God just wants you to be certain of the things that you have been taught when you read this book, because it is Jesus' continuing work by his Spirit to teach, to bless you for hearing the gospel, to be received by faith, and then to pass it on to others, family, friends, others in the community around about us who have ears to hear. Blessed to be a blessing. And so the church began. And you can see at the end of chapter 2 there what that enabled them, the Spirit of God enabled them to do. They went forth and they spoke the word of God. But like if we continued through Acts, which we're not going to be doing that, but if we continued through Acts, they're stubborn still like all of us. They struggled with sin and God actually had to then bring about persecution, bring about, you know, some difficulty times to force them to go into all those known world parts. and to leave Jerusalem and to go into all the nations and preach the gospel to them. And so Pentecost, what's important about it? It's when God gave us his word in the gospel. And I find it uniquely a bit chilling, something, a bit sort of, things, that it was the same day that the Jews were remembering when God gave them the law, when they were about to enter into the promised land to be a blessed nation, to be a blessing to all the world. And here on this same day, God so chooses to actually bring about so that all the nations are able to hear the gospel, who Jesus is, that they may be blessed as a people as they now go on their way to the promised land of heaven to be a blessing to all people and all nations around. It's no coincidence. It's no sort of, it's all just ties in together. And so the question we ask, well, why Pentecost? Why this happened on that day? There's a great hymn. I was challenged just this week to say, why didn't God just do it all in one big hit? Why does he take things over time? And I thought of this hymn by A.C. Anger back in 1894. And some of us here who are a little bit older than me, I say that with respect, will remember this one. God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out, and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. From utmost east to utmost west, where'er man's foot hath trod, by the mouth of many messengers goes forth the voice of God. Give ear to me, ye continents, ye isles, give ear to me, that the earth may be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. What can we do to work God's work, to prosper and increase the brotherhood of all mankind, the reign of the Prince of Peace? What can we do to hasten the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea? March we forth in the strength of God, with the banner of Christ unfurled, that the light of the glorious gospel of truth may shine throughout the world. Fight with we the fight with sorrow and sin to set their captives free, that the earth may be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. All we can do is nothing worth unless God blesses the deed. Vainly we hope for the harvest tide till God gives life to the seed. Yet nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of Pentecost. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, you, Jesus, coming and dwelling in your people, uniting us, reminding us of our oneness, though dispersed throughout the world in Christ, reminding us of your great provision for us in salvation and in our daily needs and of our eternal needs, empowering us to be the ones who speak, who teach, who prophesy to the work of who you are, Jesus, and what you have done, the gospel, so that the earth, all the members of the earth, may hear the good news of Jesus and be saved. Repent and believe in the good news. Father, thank you that this is the work of the Spirit in the church to make the gospel known. We ask this in Jesus' name. Be truthful about us and continue to do so. In his name we pray. Amen. As we come now to a time of prayer, sometimes life can seem so overwhelming that we do need reminding often of the scriptures, of the promises that God has kept, that will keep. And so we've been going through Psalm 119 and each Sunday, and we're up to verses 81 to 88 now, and this one leads us into a good time of song, to a time of song, and into a time of prayer as well. Would you say it with me? My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pits to trap me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause. They almost wiped me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your unfailing love, preserve my life, that I may obey the statutes of your mouth. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, so now and forevermore. Amen. Let's call upon God's Spirit in this song to breathe new life into our willing souls, to breathe his presence of the risen Lord, and to renew our hearts and make us whole. Please stand. Please be seated.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray that we may enjoy true freedom. God our Father, look upon us with love. You redeem us and make us your children in Christ. Give us true freedom and bring us to the inheritance you promised. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. We continue in prayer for all people and for Christ's church throughout the world. Almighty and eternal God, through the Apostle Paul, you teach us to pray and give thanks for all people. In your mercy, accept our gifts and receive our prayers. Set the nations on the path of righteousness and peace. Lead their rulers to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare of all. We pray for the leaders of our nation, for our Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, the opposition leader Peter Dutton, and for all who exercise authority in this land. Enable them to uphold justice, restrain wickedness, and promote integrity and truth. Comfort us and sustain, merciful Lord, everyone in this fleeting life who is in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other distress, and especially those who are known to us. Pour out your Spirit on your church, so that all who acknowledge your holy name may agree in the truth of your word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace to all bishops and other ministers to set forth your life-giving word by their example and teaching and rightly administer your holy sacraments. Give grace to your people gathered here to receive your word with humble and obedient hearts, and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. And we praise you for all who have died in the faith of Christ. Help us to follow their good examples, that with them we may inherit your heavenly kingdom. Hear us, Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. We pray for Cameron and Lara Blair and their family. Heavenly Father, we remember before you this month the many refugees throughout the world without statehood, homes, and hope. We bring before you especially those individuals and families who have found refuge here in Sydney and come under the pastoral care of the Blair family. Grant to Cameron and Lara and their family the resources and opportunities they need to reach out, especially to refugee youth and their families, and to care for them. And we ask this in your name. Amen. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Anglicare chaplains, and especially our Defence Force chaplains in the Navy, Air Force, and Army. Grant to them the compassion to care deeply for others, the wisdom to discern how best to help in all situations, the energy to transform emotion into action, and the joy of wholehearted, loving service, so that above all, Christ's love may be known to all they come across, and all glory be given to you. And we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. Our great God, we give you thanks today that you are with us in whatever we face. We know that you are sovereign, so we thank you for the victory that is ours because of Christ Jesus, and we are confident that you have good in store for our future. We thank you that you are at work right now through your Spirit, trading our ashes for beauty, and we praise you for you make all things new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we come now to receive the Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ, and we can come only because of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life, as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ, humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on the cross. And so in remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord must examine themselves and amend their lives. They must come with a repentant heart and a steadfast faith. Above all, they must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. You then who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to strengthen and sustain you. But first, let us all make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God. Together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things, and you call everyone to account. With shame we confess the sins we have committed against you, in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, strengthen you to do his will, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The Apostle John said, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Always and everywhere, it's right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Together, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, our Father, that in your love and mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By his offering of himself once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. So hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine or juice, according to our Saviour's command, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, And he then gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please either come to the table now, or where you are seated in your pews, take of the bread and take of the juice that's there. Let us pray as our Saviour Christ has taught us. We are confident to say together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Almighty and ever-living God, thank you. Thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, that we are members of his body and heirs through hope of your eternal kingdom. Together, keep us faithful to your Son and strengthen us by your Spirit to do good works you have prepared for us to do for your honour and praise. Amen. Amen. Well, as you came in today, you would have received a church news, a news and notes. I'll just draw your attention to that. School holidays are over. Sorry, Fiona. We're back to scripture again, but that's really good. We enjoy it, don't we? We do indeed. So this week, you can be mindful that kids will be going back, and that means that scripture will be going back in our local schools, and Bible story time in the preschool will be back as well too. So just be mindful of that. If you want to join with me at Chiswick Manor this Thursday as we take of a church service there, come and see me, give me a call, and you are most welcome to join me on this Thursday to meet the congregation that little meets over there at Chiswick Manor. Rosemary, do you want to say anything further about Mother's Day? But that's next. And you don't have to be a mother. You know, it's a ladies, it's wonderful. That's right, that's right. And men, we had a great morning yesterday, didn't we? We did. It was good just for about 14 of us just getting together for prayer, reading the scriptures, and sharing breakfast together. The minutes for parish council now came up at the AGM. How do I know what's going on in our parish council and what's being decided upon? Well, they're always available on the minutes, and they're pinned on the notice board up there. It'll always be the draft of the previous parish council meeting to be approved when the next time meets, but that'll keep you up to speed. Just have a little flick through the pages and see what some of the things have decided upon or are thinking through. Confirmation or being received into the Anglican Church. There are two opportunities that we can provide in the Anglican Church. Some of you, when you were children, had believing parents and they baptised you as a child, praying that one day you would come to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And through their willingness to be an example to you in the life of the church. And that day may have come and you know the Lord Jesus, but you've yet confirmed that to the rest of the church to encourage them and say, basically, confirmation is saying, we make a big deal, we get the bishop out, all right, and basically it's you saying, you know, those things that mum and dad prayed for me or my godparents prayed for me and the church prayed for me, they're true. came true. You know, I confirm that that's true. You know, and so we celebrate, and it's an opportunity. So if that's true for you and you've been baptized and want to have something like that in the life of the church, we're organizing that in December. Now, you might be, and so that's come and see me and tell me that you'd like, that God's going to, is moving in you to do that. Doesn't have to be today or could be another week. Pray about it, think about it. But it's a wonderful opportunity just to be able to stand up in the congregation in a special service and just say that to the rest of us. Fiona.
What if you haven't been baptized?
If you haven't been baptized or bring a swimming pool in. No. If you haven't been baptized at that time, then that happens at the same time, all right, at the same time in the one thing. So we have a service that basically covers both of those things for adults so that it's one thing together in the two. So baptism and confirmation happen in this one thing. So we're all able to accommodate it for Fiona. And if you've been baptized and confirmed in another denomination and you want to sort of say, well, look, I really like to be part of this congregation and this denomination. I just want to be recognized to the rest of my brothers and sisters here that I'm part of this church. Well, you are already, if you're a member here and you're part of us. But if you want something like that, that can happen as well, all right? Sometimes we need these little outward symbol things just to remind us and give us a bit more assurance in that. And that's okay. That's happy to do that. So come and see me over time and that can be arranged at the end. So it's in December. That's still a long time away, so pray about it and come and see me and talk with me about it. Thank you for regularly giving towards ministry in this place, either through the envelopes at the back or through the offertory, through direct debiting. We encourage you to use the direct debiting method and also regularly throughout the, once in a year or sometime, according to how God is so moving in you, to think about that in terms of our giving towards this ministry in this place and beyond. Again, thank you for being mindful of that we're coming into winter and that we have cold and flu possibly around and COVID still. So still be mindful to respect others in social distancing and making sure if you're unwell, please stay home and listen in online, okay, and come back when you are well. Okay. Now, is there any other announcements that like to be made? All right. Very good. After church today, if you would like prayer, then Coral and Dick, most probably, are not here. Coral's not here. And yes, Coral, you're there. Coral's not here. Coral's not here. No, I can't see. I need my glasses off. Oh, no, I can see. No. Coral's not here. So, Fiona, are you happy to pray with people? All right, okay. And I'll sit here too for a little while as well. No announcements? Our next song, By Faith. Please stand. By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight.
Our souls reward till the race is finished.
for a day. When the longed for Messiah would appear, with the power to break the chains of sin and death, and Christ triumphant from the grave.
By faith the church was called to go.
In the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith the mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. We know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon His name. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.